Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Chaf Hey, and we're holding the second line of the Amud Aleph. And we're continuing about the sugya that we learned yesterday, that there is a problem, an isur of tzeda, of capturing, whether it's animals or fowl or wild animals on Yomtiv. But besides that, there's also a problem of muktzah. And our Gemara is continuing to learn about these halachas. Omer Rabba Barafuna, Omer Rav. Hasoicher Amas Hamayim Erev Yomtiv. There was an Amas Hamayim, which means a very narrow stream of water. In fact, the reason why it was called Amas Hamayim is because the width was all of an Amma. The person was Soicher, which means he plugged up the entranceway to this Amas Hamayim from Erev Yomtiv. Ulamachar, on Yomtiv morning, he comes to look into his Amas Hamayim, and Hishkim Umatziba Dogim, and he finds a bunch of fish. Now clearly these fish did not come in on Yomtiv, because he plugged up the opening, the entranceway, from Erev Yomtiv. So these fish must have been there already from Erev Yomtiv. Since they're already there from Erev Yomtiv, they're considered to be Muchanim. They're Muchan Umezuman. And therefore there is no problem with Muktzah. As far as the din of tzeidah is concerned, the Mefarshim say it's talking about that it was a narrow Amas Hamayim, and therefore it was easy to catch the fish. And as we learned already yesterday in our Mishnah, Rabbi Shimon Gamliel said, it all depends on how large the biver is. If it's a large biver, or even though it's caught, you still have to catch it again, then it's a malach of tzeidah. But if it's a small little biver, where it's already caught, and you don't need any great tachbulois to be able to go and catch the fish, or catch the fowl, or catch the chayas, then it's considered to be caught already, and there is no malach of tzeidah. So here too, the Amas Hamayim was a narrow little stream. It was easy to catch the fish there, as if they are caught already. So there's no tzeda problem. And by the fact that he plugged it up from Erev Yomtiv, there is no muktza problem. So Omer Rav Chisda. So Rav Chisda said now, Midivrei Rabbeinu, from what we just heard from Rav. Now remember the names of the Man D'Yomrim, because it's going to become important in the next few lines. The first Memra was Rabba Barav Huna, who said in the name of Rav. Rav Chisda was also a Talmud of Rav, and therefore he said, Midiv Rabbeinu, from what we just heard, in the name of Rav, Nilmoid, we can infer another halacha, that Chayi Shekinna Bepardis, if you have a wild animal, Shekinna that just gave birth in an orchard, since it just gave birth, says Rashi, the Vlad is still very weak, and on the first day of its growth, of its birth, cannot yet run away, cannot flee. And it's very easy to go and capture this Vlad. So, ain't it Tzricha Zimun? Just like by the case of the fish, it was considered to be Muchanim, and it wasn't Muktza. This Vlad, which by the way was born on Erev Yontem, not on Yontem, otherwise we'd have a problem of Beish Nold, Beyond the Neulad, Avada Shachmamish Neulad, it's not Ken Neulad, just doch Neulad Alei. We're talking about from Erev Yontem. However, it's still Shvach, it's still within the first 24, 48 hours of birth. So, Ainit Zricha Zimun, here you don't have to make a special Zimun. Now, what's the parallel between the two cases? What Rav Chisda is saying is, just like Rav said, that in the case of the fish, it's considered to be Muchan Umzuman by plugging up this Amas Hamayim. Here too, the Chai Shekinah Beparis, since this Vlad is so young and so fragile and so delicate, it's hard for it to run, it's easy to go and capture. It's also considered to be Muchan Umzuman. You don't have to make a special Zimun from Erev Yotem.
Why that's birds you have?
So what's about the
Gemara is shortly going to ask a very strong Kasha and Rav Chisda. I don't understand the parallel to the halacha of Rabba Barav Huna, because in Rabba Barav Huna's case you made a specific zimun how? By plugging up the hole, so therefore you made a Maiser Rav. Here the person didn't do anything, he was sitting at home, he was sitting in Bes Medrash learning, just because Achai Shekinah Bepardes, there was no Maiser. So therefore why do you compare one case to the other? And like Reb Pinchas is saying a moment ago, as we found earlier on in our Masechta, when you want to make zimun, you have to make a maisa. We had a machloket Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, how extensive the maisa has to be. Beis Shammai said you have to be menaneya, you have to go and pick him up. Beis Hillel just said you have to go and point them out. Zev ze ani noita lemochar. But you got to make some sort of maisa. Here there was no maisa at all. There was a chai shekinah bepardes, but that's not a zimun, and that's what the Gemara is going to ask in another line. Yeah, you want to ask something about it?
Mr. Freeland says, what about the mother?
What about
mother also weak.
We're going to talk about the mother shortly. Yeah, we're going to talk about the mother shortly. So the Gemara says now the Chayshikin Bepar is Eretz Chizimun. So Omer of Nachman, so Rav Nachman now immediately asks on Rav Chizda, and he says Nofel Chavrin, our Chaver Rav Chizda, and Rashi points out that Rav, for purpose of our Gemara, had three Talmidim. He had many more Talmidim. For purpose of our Gemara, he had three Talmidim. He had Rav Huna, that was the father of Rav Bar Rav Huna. He had Rav Chizda, and he had Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman is now speaking out loud, and he says, Nofel Chavrin, our Guter Chaver, Rav Chizda has fallen by Rav Ravasa. In Yiddish, they would say, as a Rang gefallen in Blotter Rang. But we don't mean over here in Blotter. Rashi said, by Rav Ravasa, he has entered into a major machloikis, because as we'll see in another few lines, we're going to ask a very strong kasha on this Rav Chizda. But before we ask that kasha, there is another version of the story. The story is basically identical. The only difference is the names of the Man D'Yomer. And we start again the same way. Ikad Yamri Om Rabba Rav Huna. Same thing again. What did Rabba Rav Huna say originally on the second line? Hasocher Ames Amayim. That's considered to be a good Zimun. And instead of now Rav Chizda being Medayik Medivri Rabbeinu, Rabba Rav Huna himself was now Medayik Medivri Rabbeinu. In other words, the same Baal HaMemra that said in the name of Rav, Hasech Emet, see, now he continues on the Masamiti with the Chai Shekin. No? What? The Chai Shekin of the part of the Eretz Chizimun. Same thing as before. Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman now said, Nafal Bar Chavrin B'Rav Ravasa. Not our Chavr, because Rabba Bar Rav Huna was the next generation. Rav Huna was our Chavr. Rabba, the son of Rav Huna, he's the Bar Chavrin. He fell into the blotter, into this big kasha. What's the big kasha? The kasha that we asked before. What is the parallel between the Seicher Ames Amayim to the case of the Chai Shekinah? The Seicher Ames Amayim, he did a Maisa. What was the Maisa? He plugged up the water so that all the fish would be Mukhanim from Erev Yontif. Here he didn't do anything. The Chai Shekinah Bepardis, he didn't do anything. He didn't point to it. He didn't pick it up. He didn't enclose it. He didn't capture it. Gordish Katan. Why is that considered to be a Zimun? Why did they say Enetzvich Zimun? So that's the Gemara's kasha, and the Gemara doesn't end for the kasha, but rather the Gemara is going to bring yet additional kashas. You're telling me you don't need zimun? Of course you need zimun. The very case we're talking about. You do have to go over on Erev Yontif, point it out, and say, oh, this is the vlad which I'm going to use tomorrow for Shechita on Yom Tov. You have to go make Epes HaMaisa. You can't go and just think about it the next day. Oh, because the Chayi gave birth and the vlad can't run. You have to make a Zimun from before Yom Tov. So that's already the Kasha on what Rav Chizda was saying and Rabba Bar Rav Huna was saying. But before we finish with the kasha, we have to finish off the brayso. And the brayso continues on, that the same thing applies to Feigeluch, like we had yesterday, that also run away. The Tzipor Dror we had in the Gemara yesterday, is such a free-spirited Tzipor, and it's called Dror because of the fact that it's Dora, the bias kibasada, it can go and roam around and live everywhere and anywhere.
And be wild.
And be wild, exactly. So the only way that you can be mezamein it is tarach liksha biknofer. You have to go and tie it down, because otherwise it's going to go and run away. Moreover, says the Braisa, kidesh lo tischalef bi'imah, that you shouldn't go and make a mistake and take the mommy bird instead of the tzipor dror bird. Meaning, explains Rashi, both the tzipor dror and its mother are very, very small birds. So therefore you cannot easily distinguish between one and the other. Normally if you have a cow gives birth to a calf, you could easily tell which one is the mommy, which one is the baby. This is a big cow, and this is a small calf. But by these small birds, they all look more or less identical. And therefore, in addition to worrying about the fact that it's going to fly the coop, you have to go and make a kasher al tzimin that that's the one that you were mazman the day before, not the mommy, but the baby bird. And you shouldn't think that this is something new that was just developed in later generations. Shmai v'Avtalion were very, very early. They were before the Chorban Beis Hamikdash. They were before Hillel and Shammai. And so therefore what this Brice is saying is, this is not the new generation. This goes back already doyrois, that this was a psak. So Zeitman Dach van Deim, that a chai shekinah bepardes tzricha lezameh. Not like Rav Chizda, not like Rabbi Rav Huna. So Timur Tiofta is taka ogefreit. He asked a very strong kasha on them from a befeidish b'risa. And this b'risa is, of course, a very authoritative b'risa by the fact that we're quoting from Shmai v'Avtalion that this goes back generations. So now the Gemara goes the other way around. Now that you've established Adova Poshit, that you have to go make Zimun, Frank tomorrow, me buy a Zimun, I'll show you another b'risa which says, Pungfaker, that you don't need to make Zimun by the Chai Shekin Nebapardis. Votanya, Nocha b'risa. Om Reb Shimon ben Elozar, Moidim Beisham Beisil, Al Shez Minon, Betoich HaKan, Umotzel Afnei HaKan, Sheasurin. We had this Gemara already a few blad ago. It's talking about when you have a Khan where before Shabbos, before Yom, not before Shabbos, before Yom, if the person pointed out, according to Shammai, you got to pick it up. You have to be minaneya, not mamish like the nanuim with the esrig and lilav, but at least you got to pick it up and be mezaminit. Well, according to Basil, you just have to go and say, zeh v'zeh ani noito l'mochar, I'm going to take these. You got to be mazmin them. Now, what happens if you mazmin them b'toich a kan? You wake up the next morning, you go to the kan, you want to go and take your doves or your chickens or whatever, matzel afnei a kan inside the cubbyhole where the birds were originally, it's now empty. And you find the lefnei kan, you find that the birds in front of the kan, Rashi says, like we learned before, there was a daf bolet. There was a ledge which protruded from the kan, and you found there feugelich on them. So what's the natural tendency? A person would think, probably the feugelich that I went and designated yesterday, which were inside, they're probably now outside, standing outside, trying to get some air. So I would think they're the same ones. Say, no, asurim they're also, because I'm afraid that the birds that were originally there flew the coop, literally, and they're far away, and these are brand new birds that came from somewhere else. Okay. Anyway, but the price continues on. The medvar mun biyoni shoyvach biyoni aliyah v'tziporim shekinu betapichen ube bira. You're talking about these free flying birds that go and roam and fly far away. Yoni shoyvach yoni aliyah tziporim shekinu betapichen ube bira. We had this expression already, tziporim shekinu betapichen ube bira, yesterday. Rashi said it's talking about that in the sides of the walls they made small enclosures like a small nest, and there's some of the oifus would grow instead of going into a formal chicken coop or dovecot, they would grow in these nooks and crannies in the walls. Anyway, what about them? There you have to be afraid that they ran away, they flew away, and therefore the new ones, lefnei akan, are asurim. Ala vozim v'tarne goylim, if you're talking about geese, or you're talking about roosters, v'yoyne hardisois, which are yoynim doves that people would domesticate in their homes, and Rashi said yesterday, because hurdus used to do that, and therefore many of the nobility and aristocracy, they followed suit, and they also had these domesticated yoynim. V'chai shekinim pardis, you don't need Zimun by the Chai Shekinder Pardis. If you have Vosentai to Goylem, I understand why. Because if Vosentai to Goylem, they don't fly very far away. They basically stick around. So it's easy to go and get them. You don't have to make Gansa preparations and Gansa dust. So therefore, Ein Tzrichen Zimun. But the Chai Shekinder Pardis says, Ein Tzrichen Zimun. Just the opposite. This is just like Rav Chizda, a Rabbi Rav Huna, that they said that Chai Shekinah Bepardis ain't a Tzricha Zimun. So instead of having a kasha, I have a riot to them. Chavdecha Braisa. Exactly. Yeah, the Gemara is going to end for surely. V'tzipa Dror, Tzricha L'kasha B'knafel, like we said before, Kadesh L'schal, but Ima, that you shouldn't go and make the mistake, the mommy and the baby burnt. V'hamikusharim, V'hamenu noyim beboyris ubatim b'shichan ubemaoris mutarim. Mekushar means all those birds that were tied. Umenu noyim those that but kishakel that they picked up and they moved them around like Beishamai said. Even if they live beboyris ubatim b'shichan maoris, those are mutar. But if they be ilonois, then they are surin. What's the difference between ilonois or bebatim, etc.? Shemiyalavi yitloish. Oh, this is a separate problem. It's not a problem in tzeda or muktzah of the birds, but there's a problem. The only way that you can get to it is to go to the top of a tree. Top of a tree, you now be mishtamish be ilon. Shemiyalavi yitloish. You're going to come to go and break off a branch. And therefore, a zaitzik a problem. That's why it's asurin. Vamukushar vamununoim bechol mokoim asurin mishum gezel. So Rashi says that this last part of the Braisa is now changing from Yontif. As I get, so Rashi said, we're not talking about Yontif anymore, we're talking about Bimei Chol, like today, Shanishka Yontif. Also, it's also to go and take any birds that have been tied, or Menunoim, that you saw the Balabas pick them up and designate them for Yontif or for Shechting. The point of Rashi is that when you see a bird normally that's just flying around, it's probably Hefker. However, if you see specifically that Mr. Smith tied this bird down, but unfortunately this bird was able to release itself from its ties and is starting to fly away, so then you grab it, it's not yours, it still belongs to your uncle, even though this bird was able to escape the ties. Similarly, if you saw that Mr. Smith picked it up because he intends using it and shechting it and all the rest, so you know that it's his, it's not yours. Again, as osir mishum gesum. Anyway, but bottom line is, like Reb Pinchas said, we have a steer. The previous brisa said the gab the chay shekinah bepardes tzrichel ezamik, and this brisa says that the chay shekinah bepardes ain't tzrichen zimun. So what's tutzuchda? Eved the Gemara, the teretz that we heard before from Mr. Friedlander, Amrav Nachman leKasha, bah. It depends whether you're talking about the Vlad or you're talking about the mommy of the Vlad. What's the difference between the Vlad and the mommy of the Vlad? So Rashi is very simple. What's the reason why we said initially that the Vlad does not need Zimun? Because Ein Yechol Levroyach. This Vlad is still very weak. It's just born and doesn't have the Keach yet to go and flee. And therefore, the person, when he owned previously his chayas, and he saw that a chaya, a female chaya, is pregnant, he was thinking to himself, oh, if this is going to go and give birth, then a vad I want to have in mind, because I'd like to use it on Yontif. And in fact, he gave birth from Erev Yontif, and that Yontif morning, he said, oh, this is Duchtaka, the new Vlad, Mazel Tov. And he takes that Vlad to go and shecht. He doesn't need Zimun, because he knew in advance that this is going to be easy to catch. It ain't Yechoyle Levroyach, it's still a Vlad cotton. Masha ain't getting the mother.
Called a Zimun?
It doesn't need Zimun. Rashi doesn't need Zimun.
Why not?
Look at the Rashi. Two lines before the wide lines. Bob Vlad, all the way in the bottom, right before. Ainoi Tzricha Zimun. She ain't Yechoyle Levroyach. She can't sich nicht antläufen. She can't sich play to machen. Vedate Elay. And therefore, this was born on Erev Yontif. So even without pointing to it, without picking it up, without designating it, but he was thinking of, this would be good for our children tomorrow, because he knows that it'll be easy to capture and easy to catch. So it doesn't need Zimun. So even though the mommy just gave birth, but apparently their recuperation is much quicker than the recuperation of the Vlad and of the Havdul of a woman, who we know is very schwach the first couple of days or so. But here the Ima is able to run away.
The point is Vedaita, like that is the Zimun. He had a Zimun, that's really the point.
Yeah, but so he does. Normally by the Feigelach, the person has to pick up or he has to point.
He can't pick up the mother, can't pick up the
Vlad. Okay, anyway, Daita Li and Yechol Levroyach is good. Rashi said before the same svara at the top two. He's with Pardis. See Pardis? See you do with Pardis Be'erach too? You have that? Okay, etc.
So maybe you have to do the
ma'ase
cause it's actually Levroyach. Therefore, the chumah if we expected a ma'ase.
But the ma'ase, you don't need a
ma'ase. It's not a ma'ase. We came from, as long as I tell you, that's enough.
Enough, exactly. So how about the ima? So therefore, by the ima that is able to be boireyach, you have to make zimun. Mashenkin, you're talking about ba. You're talking about the Vlad. You don't need zimun. Freitimara, ima bezimun sagila. Say the ma'aliyah sabayim. Here we're talking about a chaya. A chaya. Chaya doesn't mean just means a pregnant animal. Here it means a chaya means a wild animal. Like deer. Like venison. Deer, as we know, runs. So the fact that you hadas, and even the fact that you're masbin, you say, oh, Mr. Deer, I intend shechting you tomorrow. Stick around for further developments. Said Gunishelvin, you can talk to the deer and you can say, oh dear. Said Gunishelvin, it's Chantoifin. So fake Gemara, the Zeman Sagala would say, Maliasabai. So therefore, the Chor, that teretz is a shvera teretz to say that one of the prizes when it says, Trichel is Amen, it means the mommy. It can't be. Both prices are talking about the Vlad. It depends how far this pardes, this orchard, this gan, this gina, where the chaya gave birth to the Vlad. If it happens to be very, very close to where the person lives, then takadaita luya. Because he says to himself, tomorrow I'm going to go out to the pardes, I'm going to go and take any new vladois which are born, because after all, I know they're all shvach the first 24, 48 hours, yichas they chapen, and I'm going to go and use them for yomtif. Masha enkid, if it's far away, even though he knows he has that vlad, but he's not going to be matriach, he's not going to go and schlep all the way. After all, he probably went to davening, which took 4 or 5 hours. By the time davening's a lobach, and ishkakoyach, to go and schlep, to go half a mile to go and find it. We're talking betoich atchum for sheitzach, but still he has to go and schlep, it's far away. So ein dat eluyah. So if you really want it, you got to be mazman, you have to say in advance, that other gina, which is 10 blocks away, I have in mind for tomorrow, for the vlad, for to go and shech, etc. Anyway, you don't like it? Why is what you mean shvach
reshus? It's undefined. It's
both of these properties belong to him. But if you look at the last Rashi, which is the first wide line, smuchleir yodaba.
It's close by.
He sees it. He knows it. You're talking about a person that doesn't only have one animal. He has many animals. He has many pardesim. So this one, which happens to be close by, that's the one he's going to shech tomorrow. Those are just a few blocks away. Yeah, I have time next week.
He doesn't notice
it. Yeah, yeah. Oh, he didn't even notice it. Realize. Okay. Fine, anyway.
It's Daitalei. That's the main
thing. Daitalei, and we get right to the next Mishnah. Zog the Mishnah, right. By the way, we started off the Gemara saying that when Rav Chisda said Chai Shekinne Bepardes Ainet Tzricha Zimun, and then we said Rabbi Rav Huna said according to the second Ika the Amri Chai Shekinne Bepardes Ainet Tzricha Zimun, and we said, oh, how could you say that I have a Beferish Braisa that says that Tzricha Zimun? Why doesn't the Gemara? And the Gemara says Tiyufta Ogifrei.
Right.
But why don't you say? But I have another Braisa which says that you take exactly. So to Machleik Tanam. So I hold like this Tanam, like that Tanam. Right? It's a Choshve. Anyway, it's not my Kasha. Toys S is Kasha. You look at the second Toys before the end. The small Toys Kabe Soda Smucha. Tame Myle Mishan the Elkain. Why didn't we end for that way before when we asked on them that they said Chai Shekin Nepardis Ain't it Tzricha Zimun? And the first Braisa says Tzricha Zimun. We should have said that's talking about a case Smuchalis. In other words, the Tanoim, as we know, spoke very succinctly. And that's why often you have to do Chesirim Mechsev Achik Tani, because they really meant those words, but they did it in brief, in succinct terms. Masha Enkin Amayroim, who spoke a little bit more expansively, if he meant that there's a difference between Smuch Le'ir and Smuch Le'ir, they should have said it by just giving a statement, Chai Shekin Nebaparis, Enit Tzri Chazim, and it's Mashma, anywhere, Saif it's Smuch Le'ir, Saif it's Enit Smuch Le'ir, Dosu Nish Emes, Dosu Nish Gerecht, on the prizes is shver because the prizes they speak in bekitzur, but the Amaroim used to speak more be barichus, and therefore it should have been mafarsh. Zok the Mishnah, behem mesukenes. What happens if it's already towards the end of yontif? Rashi says the person has already eaten his big seuda, and he discovers that one of his animals, unfortunately, is mesukenes. It may die very shortly. Obviously, if it dies, it's going to become an avela, and the value of this animal is going to go down tremendously. So what does he want to do? He wants to shecht it quickly before it dies. Obviously, he's going to have to check. Chas Shomer shouldn't be a treifa. If it's a treifa, a baitin is good. But lamaisa, that's what he wants to do. Can he go and shecht this behemoth, Mr. Kenneth? Zog the braisa, lo yishchoit. Elim Ken Yeshoyz Biyoim Lechel Mimena Kazai Sleep. He cannot shecht it unless he can still have anu'ah today by eating it today. In other words, if it's 2 minutes before mincha, so by the time he finishes shechting, it's already going to be shkia time, or tzeisek achovim time, he won't be able to eat today, then he's not allowed to go and shecht it on yontif. It's got to be a tachlis for uichel nevesh on yontif itself.
Even though he's full.
Even though he's full. So if there is enough time, lechem imena kazaisli, ekenoch esin, so therefore it's still oichel nefesh today, why does the mishnah chapon of kazaisli? Very simple. Number one, for tzli, you don't need elaborate malicha. In fact, that we do malicha, but the Gemara Masechta Chulin says, shame Rabbi Kohn is not here today to enlighten us. But when it comes to tzli, you only have to go and do ma'at malicha, just a little bit more symbolic in nature, because exactly, the tzli itself, the roasting extricates the blood.
A little bit,
obviously, yeah, ain't a chanami. So number one, so you save time, because usually a malicha is a lengthy period. You have to leave it in the salt for an hour. First, you have to rinse it off, then you leave in the salt an hour, and then you have to rinse it off again. By the time all this happens, it shouldn't have noch mincha, it shouldn't have noch marif. So therefore, he's saying you do tzayis tzli, where you don't have to have this elaborate malicha. And number two, tzli goes much more quickly. You don't have to wait until the water cooks up. I just put it on the hot coals.
Tzayis basa takes a long time.
Exactly right. So therefore, as long as you have shoyis b'yom lech menek tzayis tzli, 15 minutes, half an hour, whatever it is, then it's still good gesuntai. Reb Kiva Oymer, Reb Kiva is even more makel. I feel like kazayis chai mi beis tvi chosa. If you're still able to go and shnel, go and cut off from the beis tvicha, means for the beis hashchita, a small kazayis shnel, and put it into your mouth, that would also be permissible.
That's French shema.
It's like sushi. But sushi is usually
by
fish. And this is by flesh.
Carpaccio.
I'm sorry?
They call it carpaccio.
Carpaccio?
Carpaccio,
okay.
By meat.
Why is it
I'm afraid it's not a trade.
You have to be boidic all of the ivory for sure. But nevertheless, if it is not a trade, it's not a trade.
It's not a trade technically, but the mice is going to die. I'm afraid it's going to die before 20.
I'm afraid and you're afraid. The only one that knows for sure is the Rabbani Shalom. There are a lot of people that look sickly, lahavdil, and they live for the next 25 years. This behemah, the person who looked at it as ochashtikul behemah, he thinks that it's going to go and die. It might have lived another week, another month, another year. It might.
Today it's not the minute to shecht.
It can't walk.
I
stick with it.
If the animal can't walk to the base of shechit, they don't shecht.
Very good.
Does he have to actually have the Xayas Tzli?
It has to be sure it's beyond. It has to be enough time that today he could have enough.
Even if he has no intention of having, as
long as Yeshua's beyond. Now, the Mishnah continues on. Shachta besoda. What happens if the Shechita was out in the field and you have to go and bring the animal back to civilization, to the city? Now, this is Lav Dafka talking about Misukeles. This is talking about Algemein. If you go and Shecht outside of the field, Lo Yeviena b'moit uv'moita, don't bring it back on a moat, meaning with poles. Ava maybe other Evorim Evorim, but rather you can go and bring it in piece by piece, limb by limb. What difference does it make if you bring it on poles and bring it on limb? It says Rashi, because it's Av Shemiltza Umzalzel Beyontif. In other words, you want that the Yontif to appear as festive and as Yontif-tic as possible. And if you see two employees who are schlepping this big animal on two poles, that disturbs a little bit the Ruach of Yontif.
Like they're working very hard.
They're working on Meshvitz, and you can see the
Schweitz. They don't want to work hard.
Exactly right. Zilzil in Yontif. Anyway, back to the beginning of the Mishnah.
No tumcha.
See, you any kind of melucha you do in public, which is a big mitzvah, don't do it.
Exactly right. I was in Eretz Yisrael a couple of years ago, and I was visiting a friend in Tel Aviv, an Erlich Yid, a Haredi, all the rest. But Baruch Hashem, he's a Kenayan Har person of means, and in his private home, he has an elevator, which he or guests sometimes used on Yom Tov, because it had the blessing of Rabbi Halperin. I think he's related to our Rabbi Halpern, from the Machon, I think Machon Levi, if I'm not mistaken, from Mada and Halacha, and it's based on all types of grammars with this and that and the other thing, that therefore, and it goes constantly, there's a super kosher Mahadim and Mahadim Shabbos elevator, you don't have to push any buttons, you don't even have to go into the elevator, and therefore, they paskin is kosher v'yusha. Nevertheless, Rav Vosel Zangizint and Rav Ben Chaim L'Chaim Rav Yashiv came out with an isser not to use those elevators. So afterwards, I met my friend in Tel Aviv, and he's quite upset because he has this elevator and people want to use it, etc. So afterwards, he said, when I meet Rav Vosel, I should please ask Rav Vosel his day. So I spoke to Rav Vosel. So Rav Vosel told me, he said, it's Ken Zayn in terms of the technology. He said, I'm not an expert in technology as much as Rabbi Halpern. Maybe he's taka right in terms of technology, it's konzain, it's taka permissible. But when it comes to Hilchay Zilzal and Yontif, we Rabbanan are greater Bekiyim than Rabbi Halpern and his technological institute. And therefore it's a tremendous Zilzal when you see people going up and down. He said, Avad, Azok, and a person's already 119 years old. Achoyla Avad, Avad. But for a regular individual, even if it's permissible, Al Pi Halacha, it's a Zilzal and Yontif, and you shouldn't go up and down in elevators if you can go and walk the stairs. Anyway, Azayti Gazok. And we go by to that. That's again Nochemul Avadi allowed to go and bring in the flesh. Otherwise, you wouldn't be able to eat it. But Avshin Milson and Mizalzel beyond it. It's a public demonstration of Zilzel. Good. Zotimar. Omer Rabbi Bar Abba Hefshev and Ituach Ba'oila Vuadin Lekatzom. When it comes to the Korban Oila, it says Befedish in the Torah, the Hefshit Oisa. The nitach oisa linsocheha, which means that even though the oil is kula kolul on the mizbeach, you first remove the hide, the skin, and of course those oilers go to the kahanim, and you also have to cut it up into smaller pieces. You can't just go and put the entire oil on the mizbeach, you have to cut it into smaller limbs. What Rami Baruch Abba is telling us is the same thing applies to a butcher who is now cutting up a freshly kishachtana animal, also go and cut it into smaller pieces and flay it, remove the skin. So now, the portion, the reason is, says the Imar, Mikan Lim, the Torah Derech Eretz, Shlo Yoichel Odom Basa Kodim Heshev Nituach, that the Torah is telling you to be, to have Derech Eretz. In other words, a person shouldn't be a glutton. The Gemara is going to call it on the Amud Beis a Ravson. In English, Yiddish, they go and say a fresser. When the person is shechted, he shouldn't immediately jump on the animal. Wait until first they flay it, take off all the skin, and they cut into nice pieces. Then you should start thinking about malicha and cooking it and preparing it, but don't go and jump on it before the hefshev nituach. So Pasha Pshat, so far, Rambar Abba is only teaching us Hilchos Derech Eretz. However, initially the Gemara assumes that perhaps Rami Bar Abba is also telling us Hilchos Treifes. So if you want, Maika Mashmalan, is he only telling us the halacha of Derech Eretz, or is he also telling us another halacha? Ilim lafukim rafuna, maybe he's trying to tell us that we do not hold like Rafuna. The Omer Rafuna, what did Rafuna say? When Rahim is alive, of course, it's Osir. Why is it Ches Isser? It's Evan Menachai. Chivar lecha b'menishchata, until you know that it was geshochten properly, you know, the shoychet, you know, it's good. Once it's geshochten properly, nishchata b'ches is hetra imedes, then you can assume that it's kosher. Chivar lecha b'menishchata, unless and until you hear that there's treifes. In other words, of course, you always have to be boidik, an animal, after it's geshochten, for various treifes, but until you're boidik it, you can assume it's a cheskis kosher, because al pi rov, the animals are kosher and not non-kosher, so that has cheskis kashers. Okay, so what's the point? The point that Rav Huna is saying is, once you shecht an animal, you can assume it's kosher until you hear otherwise. From Rami Bar Abba L'Choyra, what he's trying to tell us is the other way around, that even after it's geshochten, don't eat from it until Hefshev Nituach. Why? Because when you do Hefshev Nituach, then that will allow time for the shochtim and the bodkim to be boidik, all of the Evarim, to go and certify that this is kosher and glatt kosher, that there are no treifes, no problems. So therefore, Rami Bar Abba is not only telling us Hilchos Derech Eretz, he's also telling us Hilchos Kashrus, that don't eat an animal until an animal after the bedikah, after the hefshev v'nituach, meaning parenthetically, and that they were boidik to make sure that there are no tarfas there. I, Rav Huna says you don't have to, you have to be boidik, but until that point, you could eat from it until they make those bedikas, because you can assume it's kosher. Not like Rami Barabba. In other words, from Rav Huna on Rami Barabba Nishmer, Rami Barabba is an Amoy, Rav Huna is an Amoy, they can argue. But from our Mishnah, it's much like Rav Huna did not. It's that in the Mishnah, B'kiva Oimer Afilu Kazai Yitzchai, Mi Beis Tzvi Chosa, that one could even, the amount of time left before Shkia on Yom Tov has to be a, such a small period of time that he cuts off a small little piece of, we have said gestapio, pistachio, carpaccio. Oh, it's a cuts of a small little piece of meat when it's still raw, and he puts it as a eye. If he's cutting it, me based vichasa. If he's cutting me based vichasa, by definition, you didn't make a hefshev nituach yet. Is a chasimin matnach nishkin boy? They weren't boydik the evarim because you're talking about he takes shnel, he chops a little piece from the based vicha. Is the charai to Rav Huna that once it's nishkata, becheskes heter oimedes at shivod lechob amen nitrafar? Is the charai shver on Rami Barabba? Everything on my lami based vichasa mamish. Aren't we talking about the based vicha, meaning the neck of the animal where you did the shchita? Which maloi. When it says beis vichas, it doesn't really mean from the neck, it really means from the intestines. What's made from the intestines? Being able to get to the intestines, you have to do heshev nituach. Otherwise, you can't go and grab the intestines until you start cutting it up. You can't cut it up until you remove, still flay some of the skin. Oh, so therefore, our Misha Konzain is tackled like Rami Barabba and not like Rav Huna. And he's saying that you have enough time, shnel, to be able to eat from the intestines, but that's only after heshet nituach and bedika, etc. Frey Timora, Vatani Rabchin is Bryce, said very clearly, Mokhet Vichosa Mamosh is a Chvaita Rait Rav Huna against Rami Barabba. Says Yimora, El Rami Barabba Eina Chanami was not teaching Hilchos Kashrus. He's teaching Hilchos Derech Eretz. Oirech Arakam Mashmolan. That don't be a glutton. He wasn't talking about is it treifas mit Kashrus, mit Mahadrim and Mahadrim, mit glad kosher, not kosher. All he's talking about
is in Aramaic Derech Eretz.
Oirech Arakam. Oirech Arakam is the same as Derech Eretz in Aramaic. Whatever way you're going to define Derech Eretz,
the
way of the land. The way you should conduct yourself in the land. Right. What means derech eretz? Derech eretz also means the way of the land. But it means the way you should conduct yourself in the land. Kamashula. Okay, so where do we find halachas like that? Yeah, we found other places like that. Kiddushan le'zimish in the braisa. Lo yoichal odem shum ubatzel mi roishoy ela mi alav. If a person wants to eat a fresh garlic, which he just plucked out of the garden, or batzel a fresh, Rashi, you have a befeir shirayi from our Rashi. Rashi knew Yiddish, because Rashi says on the third line, batzel says tzibula. Tzibula means onions. He doesn't use the famous French term of le batzel. He just goes and says tzibula. I learned Yiddish. Anyway, so the point is that le'yoychal udam, a person shouldn't eat a meroyshe from the top. Ella me'alav. Me'alav means from the side where you have the flowers, the grass, the leaves growing out. Most of us don't usually see leaves growing out of batzel, but if you leave your onions for a long time in the drawer, you'll see after a while it does sprout up, even though it's not mechubel karka. So that's the olive side. So the point is, if you want to go, what's the difference between eating from the roish or eating from the olive? Because if eating from the olive, you don't want to eat the sprouting leaves that are coming out. What you'd have to do is cut that away and open it up and eat the rest of the batzel. By definition, you've slowed down the process of consuming it. If you eat it from the other side, you don't have to remove any alim because there's no alim in your way. So a glutton jumps on it and eats it from the other side where you don't have to remove the alim. But if you want to be an idle mensch, derech eretz, you wait till you eat it from the olive side, which is going to take a little bit longer because you have to remove the alim before you cut up and start eating the batzel. If he does eat it that way, the Rav son, he's a glutton. If you're given a kois to drink, don't drink it in one gulp bowl. Then this person is also as a whatever
the zofer.
So for there's an English term also for a person who drinks like that. He's not called a gluttony, as a guzzler. Okay. Oh. A gozl, as ashtikul shikra as that. It's Tana Rabban. Hashoyz a koyz basacha, sazer is a gargaron. He happens to be as a gozler. Shnaim derecher, that's the normal way. Shloish, if he drinks it with small sips, ah, nochasim, migase haruch. He looks like he's a shtikul, a bissle, a haughty fellow. Why? Because he's a little bit. It probably also depends on the drink. The Gemara doesn't tell us whether they're talking about water or about wine or about schnapps or whatever. Obviously, different drinks you would drink differently. But it's the type of drink that normally a person drinks in two gulps, and this person is taking a sip. It's a certain degree of arrogance. This week's parsha. What is it? This week's parsha. Yeah. What is it?
The Ramban on
Kedushin Tea. Novel b'shus ha'toyer. Novel b'shus ha'toyer means already upset. Okay. Anyway,
isn't this exactly what it means?
A novel.
So what else? What would be different?
I don't like thinking about these topics. I like thinking about people. Bali nimos, bali derchet. The Amar Rami Baraba. Yes.
Remember
Kadmol Atayra. Chatzuva. Rami Baraba says Chatzuva mekatei raglein dirishi aya. What means Chatzuva? Chatzuva is a type of plant, a type of esev, of vegetation, which goes straight down b'oimik. It hits the shitin underneath the mizbeach. It goes all the way down. But the important thing is, it's not mispashet litzedodim. Normally, anything else that grows, for instance, trees, you see the roots spread. And that's why in Loyachbar, in Mesechta Bava Basra, you got big problems that they break the boirois, and one tree breaks another tree, etc. The chatzuva was used. In fact, there's another gemara that says Yeshua ben Nun used this chatzuva to split up between the different portions in Eretz Yisrael, between the different shvatim. Why? Because chatzuva, when you plant it, you know it goes straight down and it doesn't interfere. It's a marker. Oh, excellent shkoyach. You're talking to a real estate expert. So this is a person that meets him and it bounds him to us, and it goes a marker all the way down, and it doesn't take away the nourishment and the minerals from both sides. So if a Russia who chas v'sholem is stealing from other people, or he's masik gvul, if he would think about the chatzuva, and if he would go and emulate the chatzuva, he would never come to his rishus. So therefore, the chatzuva is the role model of what's mine is mine, what's yours is yours, and a person shouldn't go and take from the other one. That's mekatea raglein, that cuts the legs to the shiaya of the rishoyim, that they're not learning from the chatzuva. There's a famous story with Rav Moshe Zatzal that a new school was opening up, and now they were talking about Hascholas Gemara Shir, and they went to Rav Moshe and they said that their experience is that teaching Eilei Metzias to young kids of 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, it's so intangible, it's hard for them to grasp and to absorb. They would prefer learning Ketzim Mavarchim. Ketzim Mavarchim, what bracha do you make? You make a shakel? Do you make a moitzi? Do you make a bayir priyait? It's also Gemara. They want to start with Ketzim Mavarchim. So Rav Moshe said, number one, since this is the way it's been taught for many generations, continue the Masoidah. Obviously, you shouldn't go and change the Masoidah. You should go and start off with Eilei Metzias. But number two, he said, perhaps the reason why the minig was to learn Eilei Metzias is because, as we know, when a person learns Gemara, it sharpens the mind, particularly those that really delve into the Gemara properly. And it sharpens the mind, then it could be that afterwards a person thinks about all types of migois, that this money belongs to me, etc. The point is, we want that the child, for the first week or two or three, when he's learning Eilei Metzias, he should hear time and time again, Eilei Metzias shaloi ve'eilei chayv l'hachris. This belongs to Yankel, this belongs to you, this belongs to Beryl, this belongs to you, but it's not yours. Don't go and take it from somebody else. This belongs to you, and this belongs to the other one. So what's the point? The point is, that's very important that you continue always remembering, this is Yenim's geld, this is Mam geld, and never the twain shall meet. The chatzuva is the role model. It doesn't allow my money to go and mix them with the other guy's money. Netiyah mekatei raglein de katzvai udbei ali nidois. Netiyah, says Rashi, is referring to the netiyah of arla, because we know that when a person plants a new fruit tree, he won't be able to eat for it for the full 3 years because it's arla. See, you have to have a lot of patience. That's mekatei raglein de katzvaya, that cuts the legs of the butchers that are not patient and allow people to schnell eat the meat even before they had a chance to be boidik for treifis. Have Gedult learns a chuf from the Orla, don't eat immediately. Wait till they do a full fledged bedika that there's no traces. Same thing by Al Nidois. By Al Nid explains Rashi is a person that also doesn't have the patience to wait for his wife to go in toivel. He has a tremendous cheshik, a tremendous tava to do a maisa right now. He should learn from Orla. You have to have patience. They're not saying you should wait for 3 years, but be honest, wait until she goes and type. Okay, the next shikl. Turmisa mikatei raglein de san'ein shel Yisrael. Turmis, explains Rashi, is a bean that takes a long time to cook, because if you eat it initially, it's very bitter. But if you cook it 7 times, Rashi then it says it's mosoik v'toiv to eat bekinuach suda. After that, you give it for a kompot, and that's delicious. So initially, it's bitter, but if you cook it 7 times, then it's kishmak. So now, this is very important in terms of the 7 times because of the following pasuk. She never says in the pasuk. Raisiv b'nei Yisrael las, Yisrael Rabbeinu Hashem. Klal Yisrael unfortunately did bad. What did they do bad? They worshipped all types of idols and avodah zarah. And the pasuk now enumerates 7 different avodah zarah. V'yavdu asa ba'olim is 1. Vesashtoris is 2. Vesalhei Aram is 3. Vesalhei Tzidon is 4. Vesalhei Moyev is 5. Vesalhei Bnei Amon is 6. Vesalhei Plishtim is 7. Vayazvu es Hashem v'lo yavduhu. Now, what's pshat? What does this have to do with the Tormus? Explains Rashi. By the Tormus, what happened was, and Imar is going to explain in another few lines. By the Tormus, the person cannot eat the Tormus because it's bitter. So what did he do? He went and cooked it and cooked it and cooked it 7 times, but now it's masaik. Now he can eat it. So he had gedult 7 times. Now it's changed its complexion, no longer bitter, now it's sweet. Now he goes and eats it. Here by the Yidden, they went and served not 1 avodah zarah, but 7 avodah zarahs. And after the 7 avodah zarahs, I would think that they would also change their color, just like the Tormus changes from bad to good. So maybe now Klal Yisrael will do tshuva after seeing that all these avodah zarahs and the choshmatis and garnished and idols and shtusim and narishkeiten. No, unfortunately, by Yazvus Hashem, they continued to go and leave a Kodesh Baruch Hu. So that's what the Gemara starts off. The Tormus mekatei reglein the sanin shel Yisrael. It cuts the legs of Nebuch. When the word Sanhedrin means Nebuch, it's a euphemistic term. The Yidin of Chas HaShom, Oivet Avodah Zarah, look, you went and you eat your Tormus after 7 times, but you don't return to the Ribbono Shel Olam after 7 Avodah Zarahs. Frank Dimara, Mimash Nebuch Yazus Hashem, and Yodesh Lo Yavdu. What's this double lotion? Lo Yavdu. That you go and cook it 7 times. Even like the Tormus, you didn't give me credit. In other words, the Tormus, explains Rashi, a person's matriach to go and cook it 7 times. He cooks it, pours away the water, starts again 7 times, and after that it's choizel emotiv, and after that the person goes and eats it. So he's saying that this tircha was worthwhile 7 times, and he eats it. Here, says Rashi, when it comes to the avodah zarah, the matriach is boiron, lahavi alein puronios ulahach isoi b'shivas eila v'loi chazru behen. They went through these 7 avodah zarahs, and of course none of them helped the guy. That's why he went from avodah zarah to avodah zarah. Lahavdol nachas shalom shtibul hopping. He's avodah zarah hopping from 1 avodah zarah chas shalom. He's going from 1 avodah zarah to another avodah zarah. None of them helped him out, but he doesn't return to a kodesh baruch hu. He's a low life. He's less than this Tormus that was choizel butav. Why? Now this is a very interesting Gemara. Why was Torah given to Klal Yisrael? Mepnei shehein azin. Because by definition, by their nature, they're an amkshe oirev. They happen to be a very stiff-necked, stiff-willed people. And so therefore, to subjugate them, to subdue them, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave them the Torah, because the Torah is mateshes koicha shel adam, to get them off of their high horses and to bring them down a couple of levels, because they are so strong-willed. They're azin. Tan Rav Yishmael, min minoy eish dos lamay. Am HaKadosh Baruch Hu ru'uyin halalu shetunosin lehem dos eish. Vos meintes. So Pshat, continuing on the same thought, that Klal Yisrael are very azim, and therefore HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs to go and break them down a little bit, and therefore he gives them this hot fire to subjugate them, to subdue them. Or another Pshat is, Fakert, Ikedi Amri Dasim Shel Elu Eish Shemoli Nitali Yisrael In Kaluma Veloshi Yichoy Lam Bifne. Ah, so we're saying is that Klal Yisrael themselves have a fiery type of character and personality, and therefore for them it's roy to give them the Eish Das. So these two Ikedi, the two versions, is one of them is a Kadosh Baruch Hu gives them the Eish because they are able to take that fire because they themselves are firedik. They're azim. The other pshat is for care. The Kadosh Baruch Hu wants to subdue them and gives them the fire to kind of break them down, like the Gemara said before, because Klal Yisrael are azim. And the Gemara continues on. Behind the Omer Pshimah,
because they could take it.
I'm sorry.
The first one is they gives it to them because they were able to take.
Exactly, they're able to accept it because they are fiery.
Right.
Oh, Zayegit. My name is Shlokish. Gimel Azanein, there are three that by Tivius they are strong-willed and strong in nature. Yisrael b'umais, Kelev b'chayis, dogs among all the wild animals. Tanigal b'oifais. V'yesh omrim af eiz b'behema daka, the goats by behema dakas. V'yesh omrim af tzlaf b'ilonais. Rashi said by tzlaf b'ilonais, he doesn't understand exactly what that means. Lo yedati mau azus shaloi, what is the strength of the tzlaf b'ilonais? Toysa says he does have a couple of pshat, and Toysa brings it to Sefta. The number one, by all other fruit trees, you only have the benefit of fruit. Here by tzlaf, you have the alin, the avioinus, and the kafrisin.
That's like a caper.
Caper bush, exactly. Whatever caper bush is, Toysa says it's tzlaf. And also it's toyin peiris b'chol yoim, that every single day it has a peiris.
There's different brachas.
Exactly. Okay, anyway, very interesting. Says at the end of the Mishnah that shochta besodali the end of the moit, don't bring it back in poles. Why don't you go and bring it back on poles? Because it's a zilzil of yontiv, it's av shemilza. See, Gemara tells a similar story to Tanur Ban in the Suma Yotzev Makloi. A blind person should not go out with his shtekin. V'lo yaroi betamiloi, and a roi should not go out with his pouch. V'en yotzev bekisei echar ish ve'echar isha. And don't carry people, even though on yontiv you're allowed to go and carry, don't carry people in such fancy carrying seats. Why? Because all of this is a zilzil of yontiv. Now it's hard to understand. As Suma Yotzev Makloi says, the Rosh and other Rishonim say that we're talking about a Suma that Baruch Hashem is able to get around without his shtekin. And therefore, this shtekin is only, if you will, a luxury. And by moving his shtekin around, it makes noise probably, etc. Maybe it stares people when he's walking. Anyway, but Avada, a Suma that cannot go around without his makel, is no different than a Zokin, who Avada is allowed to go and use his cane. It's not a Zilzil of Yontif if the person actually needs it to get from place to place.
Even a Shabbos here. Like
yeah, that. Kenish or Kenish. Exactly. And this halacha applies both to Echad Ish v'Echad Isha, not to go on these kisei, to go and carry them up in the liften, because although there's no problem in carrying, but when it comes to Zilzi Yontu, you can get carried away. He went out with his gludki. What says a gludki? Rashi says a feldestool, so some sort of chair or stool. If people need to come on to him, then it's mutter. What does that mean? In other words, if this zokin just happens to be a zokin amma aret, then he shouldn't go around mit der gludki because it's a zilzon yontif. However, if he is needed because he's the rov, if he's a baldarshan, people are going to wait for his shir, for his drasha, then he's allowed to be mekel if it's hard for him to get around without this gludki.
Why for a zokin is this different than the stick that he leans on?
As the Zokin needs the stick, he's allowed to go and use a cane on Yom Tov and even on Shabbos.
Why not this seat?
Sorry, once again?
Why not this
it's
seat?
It's like a wheelchair.
If he needs it, and the Zokin is it's a Rabban Tzrichem Loi, it's permissible.
He needs it to get around.
If he can't get around without it, he's always allowed.
It's just like a cane. What is the difference between the cane and the
seat? Obviously,
but I'm assuming that he could get around without it.
Exactly.
I think the seat here is like a more of a covered seat. It's more of a showy seat as opposed to relative to a cane or even a wheelchair, which might be this is like putting up on top, with a cushion or something like that. Maybe
it's
that's
more of a luxury than a necessity.
Correct.
Thank you. Anyway, I heard the story that Rav Schwab Zichron Lebracha, everybody knows, was the famous Rav of Washington Heights, that the last few years of his life it was hard for him to walk, and he was in fact confined to a wheelchair, and on Shabbos and on Yom Tov they used to take him up and down with the elevator, goyim, push the buttons, all the rest. Anyway, to go to shul. The day after Rav Geli became Ruv and became his Mamalamokim, his successor, then Rav Schwab stopped coming to Shul on Shabbos and Yom. People asked him why. He says, because I can't get around other than through a wheelchair on the elevator. He said, what did you do until now? He says, Ich hab mich eingered that Rabim Tzrichim Loi. I convinced myself that people need me in case they have a Shaila, I have to give a Drosh, I have to give a Shir. But now that they have a new Ruv, they don't need me. I have no head to go anymore in the elevator, and he stayed always home on Shabbos. He didn't come down.
I heard that he had a minion in the house.
Maybe he had a minion in the house, but why did he come to Shul? Out. For that reason. Right. I'm not saying he's done b'yechidus, but he didn't go anymore on the elevator.
Weiss is in me also.
I'm sorry?
But Weiss doesn't come down either.
Our Rav Weiss? So a lot more of Yishleim. Anyway, continue with the morning. The morning gets weiter. Nochamol. And Rav Tzrichim Mutter. Says the Gemara, V'samchur Abiseinu al Divrei Achishakya. Achishakya was the name of an Amoira, and the Rabbanon were Soymech on him. The Omer Ano Afiktel Rav Huna. He said, I myself used to carry Rav Huna, Mehini Lishili and Mishili Lihini. Hini and Shili were two towns which were close to one another within the Tchum, and therefore he said, even though a regular person you're not supposed to carry in the liftin on a Kisei, but Rabim Tzrichim Loi is permissible, and everybody needed Rav Huna because he was the Gudl, he was the Baldarshan, he was the roof. Remember Nachman Yitzchak, I know Afikti Lamar Shmuel, I also used to go and carry Shmuel, Mishimsha Latula, Mitul Lishimsha. This is a smaller distance. Mitul Lishimsha, Shimsha Latula means from the sunny part to the shady part, I would also go and carry him. Mr. Shmuel was very schwach because Rabban Tzrichim Loi. Awesome, Kiram Taima. Like we said before, my Rabban Tzrichim Loi, it's but. Omri Ram Nachman, Lechoma. It's certainly there was an Erev. So therefore, in other words, even if it was Shabbos, it was an Erev, and if it was Yom Tov, you don't have to worry about an Erev, because it's Letzoyrech.
It's like something on Shabbos, Yom Tov.
It's partially through my Yom Tov. I'll mesech to Yom Tov, unless it says otherwise. Omer Rav Nachman Lechomim Bar Ada, Shliach Tzion. It's a very interesting name. Why is he called Shliach Tzion? Rashi says because he was a frequent flyer to go to Yerushalayim. Since he went frequently, presumably he even did shlichus, he probably from time to time took a look pekelech, just like even today people going to Eretz Yisrael, everybody, every neighbor says, oh maybe you can go and take a small little package, usually a small package is bigger than the whole suitcase, but the point is, he's a shlich tzi and he would go frequently to Eretz Yisrael. So he said, kisalkis lahosim, when next time when you're going to Eretz Yisrael, do me a favor, don't go straight, make a stop on the way, ake v'zol v'zil asuma de tzor, go up to tzor like on a sulam means on a ladder, it doesn't mean a dafka ladder, it means you have to go a little bit with a detour. Ask him the shayla, what do you hold about carrying someone on a kisei out in the Rishas Rabim on Yantav? At the Ozel Hossam, by the time he got to the Sulman Tzar, unfortunately, Nochnaf Rabbi Yaakov Idi, Rabbi Yaakov Idi already passed away. However, Kisalik, but who was his now his new Mamala Mokoyim? When he got there, Ashkechel Rab Zika had taken over. He was apparently the new Ruv. And he asked him, Umalei Kisimatame, was Haltelagabe Kise. Umalei Hochi Omer Abami, Ubavad Shalo Yekatev. Yes, you can carry somebody on a chair, but don't do it through Yekatev. What does this mean? Now, what means an alunki? So if you look at the Rashi, the first wide line on the bottom, says Rashi towards the end of the line, first Shan Bulish Balaz, whatever that means, which means you have two people standing next to each other, one extends his arm to the other person's shoulder, the other person extends his arm to his shoulder, so you have now two arms which are parallel to each other, you lock them in place on the two shoulders, here and back, and then somebody takes a small little seat and puts them on top of those two arms. Hopefully these two people have very strong arms, and now you have someone sit on the seat on top of those two arms. This apparently was considered to be a greater zilzal than just carrying a person on his kisei. Why? Because apparently this is a more public demonstration. Like you see at the chassidus when you have 10 people picking up the chusin all the way up in the liftin, and so therefore everybody sees it. When if you're carrying a person on a kisei regularly, so it may be low down below, it's not that noticeable. But if it's on top of the person, because they find the top of the shoulders, then everybody sees it. So that apparently is the problem. So he says, yeah, you can carry somebody on a kisei, but don't do it on this yikatev, don't put a seat on top of the shoulders where everybody sees it. Rav Nachman permitted his wife Yaltsa. Yaltsa was Rebbetzin Rav Nachman. He permitted her to be carried also on such a way on top of the shoulders. How are you allowed to do that? We just said, Babachul Yakatev. Evdi Marshani Yalta de Beisa. The reason why Yalta would not permit herself to be carried in a regular kisei, because she was afraid that she'd fall off, just like by the Chassanim. I heard recently Nebuchadnezzar Taka fell down by Chassan, and Nebuch got a concussion. So one has to be, everybody makes a gans Chassan for them. And don't listen, these things are, you have to be very careful. Chassan, sure, a person falls down.
There is another reason. Was a woman to be carried by men.
Who says you carry a man? Women could be carried by women. You're discriminating. Yeah, when we have women.
You know, all your requirements in this country.
Yeah. She didn't weigh that much.
Women give birth.
Yeah, yeah. Anyway, we're assuming that the women they were talking about b'derech snias, women with men. That's not the problem. The problem over here is the zilzal and yontiv and carry. So how are you allowed to do it? You said b'vachri katar, that's a problem. Shani yalta the b'isa. But I thought you were going to ask another problem, Mr. Friedlander. We said before the only head to go and carry people is only if rabbim tzrichim lay. Was it Medialza? Was it Rabbi Tzrichala?
She has all the kashas.
Oh, she's
the
Rebbitzin. Toysis is right there, Kasha. And Toysis says, as we know, Rav Nachman was the Chasna de Bein Nesia.
Wow.
By the Reish Kelusa. The Chasna de Bein Nesia, which means that he was a son-in-law. In Yiddish, they say the Chadban. That means the son-in-law from the Rebbe. Here, the Chasna, the item of the Reish Kelusa. If he was the item of the Reish Kelusa, guess what she was? She was the daughter of the Reish Kalusa. Oh, yeah. People needed toivis from the Reish Kalusa right and left every day out of the week. And therefore, Rabban Tzrichala, people needed her for Isis and for toivis. It's not my pshat. Look at the toises. Second toise in the band. Shani Yalzad of Isa. Vib toim of Aleyatir, Misha Yesh, Latzayach Rabbim. Can I bring him the help? Yeshloima Dilma Nami. People that can need it from her toivis and aitzis and all the time. Okay, anyway, getting back to Gemara. They also allow themselves to be carried like that mit derech katov. We should be asus because they were afraid if they were going to go the regular way they might fall down. But the derech katov, they knew that was more sturdy, more stable. They weren't afraid. The other said, another reason we should doich the tzibura on the Shabbos and regular was a tremendous mass crowd. It was a mass oilam for them to get from where they were to their seats or to their place where they had to speak. It was a large distance, and they didn't want it to take so long. So therefore, when they carried them up above on the ketafayim, that went much quicker. Rashi said, and they were able to go maher lemekayman. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisrael.